Let me pray. Our Father God, we pray that you will help us to be truly wise. We pray that you will help us to behold wonderful things from your word this morning, and that we might then walk in those ways. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who wants to be wise? I guess in one way or another, we all do. Intellectual ability can help us land that job promotion. A great command of general knowledge can impress our friends at the latest dinner party. A knowledge of the universe and how it runs is a thing that many of us would like to say we had. So it comes as no surprise that Stephen Hawking's book, A Brief History of Time, was at the top of the bestseller list for months. Interesting, though, is that it has been noted that it is one of the most popular unread books ever. Many a household has it on their shelves, but how many people have actually read it from cover to cover? I must be a Philistine because I don't even have it on my shelves. But even if we shun the expansive knowledge of the scientific world and the functionings of the universe, we all long to have a mum or a friend who is truly wise. Someone who gives good old-fashioned advice when we need it. Someone whose shoulder we can cry on. But all of this begs the question, can wisdom be found? Is there such a thing? When it comes to religious knowledge in particular, how can anyone be arrogant enough to say that they have the wisdom of God, whoever or whatever he might be? Who would be presumptuous enough to say that? Clarence Darrow said, "I am an agnostic. I do not pretend to know what many ignorant men are sure of." He went on to say, though, that the Bible contains much that is relevant for today. For instance, Noah taking 40 days to find a parking spot. He's got something there. Eric Krieg has a website called Eric Skeptics Page. He says, "My biggest pursuit in life has been truth. My biggest hobby is skepticism. And the world's biggest problem is ignorance." Is he right? Are we nothing more than a bunch of ignoramuses who know next to nothing? Is there nothing more that we can do than take the advice of the one who said, "Better to remain silent and be considered a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt"? Is there such a thing as wisdom, and where can it be found? Well, the book of Proverbs clearly tells us that wisdom can be found. As chapter 1 verse 7 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And as we turn just to look at chapter 2 this morning, there are three things that I'd like to highlight about this wisdom. Firstly, wisdom requires a diligent search. In other words, wisdom is the task of men and women. We are to pursue wisdom with all our might. And the goal of this pursuit is mentioned in verse 5. It is the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. There is our definition of wisdom. True wisdom is having a right assessment of the Lord. True wisdom is having a knowledge of God, a knowledge which will result in believing the Lord to be just that, the one who rules our life. The writer highlights the way in which we are to pursue this wisdom by focusing in on four parts of the body. We get two in verse 2, the ear and the heart. Verse 2, "Turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. One is to turn one's ear and one's heart to the words of the wise." Verse 1, "My son," says Solomon the wise, "if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, then you will attain your goal." Now, the heart was the centre of the emotions. With all our heart, with all our feelings, as well as with our intellect, we are to pursue wisdom. The wise words need an attentive ear and a softened heart. The third body part highlighted is the tongue in verse 3. "If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding," wisdom is to be sought by crying out for it. The request is for understanding so that we can fathom the knowledge that is being sought. It is not just mere head knowledge, but understanding of that knowledge so that we might apply it correctly. And then fourthly, the eyes. Verse 4, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Now, if I lose 20 bucks, I'm going to go looking everywhere for it because I want that money back. But if I lost a fortune or you lost a fortune, well, you would do whatever was in your power to get it back if that was possible. We are to pursue wisdom like that. The ear, the heart, the tongue, and the eyes are all used to emphasize the strenuous way in which we are to seek for wisdom. And notice that the success in the pursuit is dependent on all these aspects. If you turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Yes, there is a clear command to pursue wisdom. But notice that there is a promise that goes with the command, verse 5, that we've just heard. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So friends, we must be those who pursue wisdom. It is not something that comes automatically. It requires effort. But that effort will be rewarded. And the words of Jesus come to mind. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So firstly, wisdom requires a diligent search. But secondly, wisdom is the gift of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If the obtaining of wisdom just depended on our search, then we may well conclude that it couldn't be found. It would be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. The claim of arrogance could well be directed at us. But no, we can be confident that we can find wisdom because God promises it to us as a gift. Verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault and it will be given to him. So we must hold these two truths in balance. Wisdom as something to be pursued and wisdom as the gift of God. We are to seek, but it is the Lord who gives. We should never doubt that we can obtain the wisdom that we need for living this life because we know that it is promised to us. The Lord gives it, but we are to strive for it. And we see this balance in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do you see it there? It is all of God, and it is all of us. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue in your striving to be wise, to live God's way. But remember as you do that, it is God who works in you to bring about his good purposes. So firstly, wisdom requires a diligent search. It is the task of men and women. But secondly, wisdom is the gift of God. And now thirdly, God guards and protects those who seek his wisdom. Verse 7, he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. In what sense, we must ask, does God protect? Does that mean that we will go through life without being touched by the effects of living in a fallen world? Does that mean that he will protect us from sickness or save us from having a wayward child or protect us from being made redundant in our job? Well, experience would say no. The Lord guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones, but what actually does that mean? Well, the answer is found for us in verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. The protection that we have is the wisdom to know the good paths from the bad ones. When it comes to choices in life, God has laid down for us the guidelines to lead us into the right ways. God never makes our decisions for us, but he gives us the wisdom to choose the right path. And if he doesn't give us any information on that topic, then it doesn't matter. Pray for his wisdom and make a decision. For example, a decision about who to marry. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, you were to marry someone from the opposite sex, not a blood relative. Wisdom would say that you want someone that's a believer like yourself. So you don't wait for the rocket from above saying, marry X. I remember when I was at Moore College, someone prayed that God would lead them to sit next to the person that they were to marry when they were in chapel that morning. The problem was a girl sat on either side of him. He didn't know which one God wanted for him. Well, as we make decisions in life, God protects us not in the sense that we are kept free from the world's ills, but that we don't make choices which in the end rob us of the life that we long to have. Our God is one who longs to grant us his wisdom so that we may prosper. Not materially, necessarily, but in the sense that we enjoy life as it was meant to be by walking in his paths. See, God is not someone who says, I have all the good things over here and you can't have them. Yes, all those people out there, they have them, but not you. He is not just some big killjoy in the sky. His ways are for our good, for our greatest blessing. As the psalmist tells us in Psalm 84, verse 11, no good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. And from verse 12, two examples are given of how God's wisdom will protect. Firstly, verses 12 to 15, protection from wicked men. We read, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. We may well be tempted to walk down the paths that wicked men walk, but if we follow the wisdom of God and obey his rules, he will protect us from such things. We will not acquire a taste for the ways of the wicked, but we will long to know and to obey the commands of the Lord, and they will be to us, like the psalmist, sweeter than honey, more precious than gold. And so, in the words of Psalm 119, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And then verses 16 to 19, protection from wicked women. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. We live in a wicked world, tempted by men, tempted by women. Temptations are all around. How should we conduct ourselves? Well, the wisdom of God will provide the safeguards that we need. It will set the limits not to restrict us, but to protect us. Therefore, it is no wonder that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, one of the petitions was, deliver us from evil. And as we read of the safeguards that God's wisdom provides, we need to ask, do we in our heart of hearts really believe that God's wisdom is for our good? Or do we think that we know better? Or do we try to justify our foolishness? Or do we think that the goalposts have been moved, and as our society changes in its views and attitudes as to what is right and wrong, that we need to move with them as well? For some people in their foolhardiness will say things like this: God led me to leave my wife. God wants me to love. And this woman loves me. She understands me like no other. People have done that and made shipwreck of their lives. Or I'm going to embezzle because God wants me to provide for my family, and I must do that. See, God will never guide us in that way. He would never lead us to do things that are inconsistent with His word. And because we have God's wisdom available to us, we can live the life which is for His glory and for our good. But friends, we must believe that God knows best. In the words of one of my favourite TV shows when I was very, very small, Father knows best. Some of you older people might remember it. Our Heavenly Father knows best. Because with the world moving increasingly away from His word, we can be tempted to think that He has made a mistake. What is wrong with homosexual practice? Or what is wrong with couples living together? Or what is wrong being motivated by materialism and getting ahead? We must take our lead from God and His scriptures, His wisdom, and not from the world. So can wisdom be found? Well, yes, but any claim to be wise which ignores God is a false claim. You can have the brains of a Stephen Hawking, but still be a fool. Yes, you might have the street smarts. You might have the nous to be the head of a corporation that makes millions. You might have the nous to be able to manipulate people and climb over people and get ahead in life. But without God, in the final analysis, you are a fool. Because it is the fool who says in his heart that there is no God. The pursuit of wisdom without acknowledging God will never be successful, because it is God and only God who gives true wisdom. You may have what we might call, yes, worldly wisdom, which appears to do you well, but in the end it will ultimately fail you. For in the words of Jesus, what does it profit a person to gain the whole world by their wisdom and yet forfeit their very life? Yes, one can use their wisdom to gain the whole world, but still forfeit their life. And so we read in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 to 21, these words: Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And what was that foolishness? The message of the cross that we focused on yesterday. The message of Jesus dying for us. That was God's wisdom. But to the world, foolishness. It is God's wisdom which is foolishness in the eyes of the world, which makes one truly wise. Indeed, yes, Jesus is God's wisdom. And to pursue wisdom outside of God the Father and His Son is sheer folly. For if this is God's universe, if He is our Maker and our Judge, why on earth should anyone be called wise that ignores Him? Or how can anyone be called wise if they indulge in actions and attitudes forbidden by Him? Well, the outcomes of pursuing the two types of wisdom are outlined for us in verses 21 and 22. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. No one is wise who ignores God who created the world. No action is wise if it is something forbidden by God. That is why it is the upright who will live in the land. Now, for us, the promise of the land is our eternal home, heaven. The upright will spend eternity with God. Friends, the way we act matters. God desires us to live wisely, lives which are protected from evil by walking in his paths. The upright, the godly, will live in the land. That is why the New Testament calls Christians saints. Now, there used to be a bumper sticker which said, do good people go to heaven? No, only bad people do. Well, that's incredibly misleading. It is good people who go to heaven. Now, I know what the bumper sticker is trying to get at. It is only forgiven sinners that go to heaven. But then we are transformed by God's Spirit and we are going from one degree of glory to another. It is saints. It is those who follow the teaching of God who will get to heaven. That is not what gets them there, that earns them that. But it is the holy ones who will be there. We need to live wise lives and not to be like that complaint given in Romans. Shall we just go on sinning? Grace may abound. Doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. The upright will live in the land. And then verse 22, on the other hand, the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Now, the wicked here are not just the adulterers and the swindlers and the murderers, but the wicked are those who are foolish enough, indeed arrogant enough, to refuse God's wisdom. They may be very upright in their selfish living, but they are foolish and they will be cut off from the land. And to those wicked, the message is, yes, if you don't pursue God's wisdom and accept it as his gift, then in the end, you will be cut off from him and all his goodness. Yes, friends, wisdom can be found. God promises to give it. But in his purposes, he has ordained that we must pursue it. And the only true place to find it is in him, as he has revealed himself in his word. And the great promise is, as we do so, he will guard and protect us as we live this life. Well, the thoughts of our wise man from Proverbs are summed up for us in the wisdom of the New Testament when James writes these words in chapter 1, verse 25. But the person who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. May we be those who are truly wise. May we be those who are truly blessed. Amen.